This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with
The Priest
and The Poof, the show where we talk about sexuality and spirituality for our community.
And good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge, and you are with The Priest and The Poof. Tonight on the show, we have some guests all the way from Aotearoa. And for those of you who are a bit ignorant, that means New Zealand.
I like it when you say, those of you who are a bit ignorant, casually glance across at me.
No, it wasn't you I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Someone in the lift asked us where Aotearoa was.
Oh.
Aotearoa means the land of the long white cloud.
Joy 94.9.
And that was a beautiful song, Pokarikariana, and that was the song that the gallery sang after marriage equality was voted in, was it not?
Yes, it was.
And I watch it on YouTube and I cry every time I see it. It was very moving.
It was a big moment for them. That's good.
Yeah, it's a pity Australia couldn't do likewise, but we won't go into that. Now we're going to hear a recording of Emily Warman, who spoke at MCC conference in Chicago this year, in July this year. And we're going to hear her speech.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Greetings to you all from New Zealand. Oh, clapping already. My name is Emily. And I stand here as living proof that MCC can transform even straight people. I am super, super duper proud to be part of the wider MCC family. And thank you so much for those who donated to the Be a Gem Fund, because myself and my husband wouldn't be here without you, so thank you very much. I am loving the new tagline that we have, transforming ourselves as we transform the world. But what does it take to be transformed? I'm sure that there is as many answers to that as there are people in this room. But I'm going to share with you today what it means for me. About 10 years ago, I moved from little old New Zealand to the UK. My relationship with God was at the best pretty jaded, and I was looking for a spiritual home. I found MCC South London and started to attend under the amazing guidance of the late Reverend Elder Gene White. She, her partner, and her flock changed my life. At MCC South London, I not only heard the message, loud and clear, that God loved me, but I also got to discuss it, I got to live it, challenge it, and see it in action. I got to try it out. I was pretty hooked. Being part of that MCC community transformed me. Suddenly, I had a new confidence. Finally, I came out of the closet as a Christian. I started talking about spiritual stuff at work. Suddenly, people started asking me to pray for them, the most unlikely people. I got comments like, "But you go to church, Emily? But isn't church just for posh people?" I don't know what that says about me. But finally, I was part of a church I could be really proud of. Everybody was welcome. My enthusiasm started to rub off on the people around me, and it was great. My boyfriend at the time wasn't a Christian, and he started to attend too. Alan also found God and that strong, inclusive message that we heard every week. However, drinking bad instant coffee and smoking endless cigarettes with the MCC regulars was also a massive part of his journey and his decision to be baptised at MCC. We eventually got married by our friend and pastor, Gene White. For me, I think transformation happens within community. We were so fired up. We were on every committee. We were preaching, praising, planning and parading. I kid you not, we were even on the London Christians at Pride Committee. Yeah, we were into it. About a few years after all this, we had a bit of a realization. We were extremely happy. But you know what? We were also very comfortable. Was this the end of our journey? Did God want us to do what we were doing now forever? Well, we didn't really know what God thought. We were too busy doing church to listen for God. We may have attended every service and every committee meeting, but did we spend any real time with God? I don't think so. But however, even through all that sort of ignoring, we had a feeling that God wasn't finished with us yet. So yes, transformation does happen within community, but I'll tell you something for nothing. Transformation is really hard to do when you're in your comfort zone. We realised we were trapped in a happy little bubble. God had plans for us, but we didn't want to know. We didn't really want to change anything about our lives. But surely transformation cannot happen without change. Something had to go. We had to make room. And I'm not really sure how it happened. But soon we were selling everything we had, leaving our fabulous jobs and our amazing church, packing a backpack each, and setting out on a journey across Spain. It may not look like it now, I'm not really the physical type, but I carried a small backpack and walked with my husband 795 kilometres, which is 495 miles, on this, not all in one day. On the Santiago de Compostela pilgrimage across Spain, which took us 40 days and 40 nights. Anyway, each day consisted of nothing but walking, eating, washing, and sleeping. We had no choice but to hear God. We saw God in the people we met, in the beautiful countryside, and in each other, and the long chats, and most importantly, the silences that we shared with God along the way. We discovered that we didn't actually have to worry so much about the future. Each night, we always found somewhere to sleep. God provided for us each day. We discovered we didn't need a lot of stuff. In fact, we even started to get rid of some of the stuff out of our packs. It was so liberating. We made room, and you know what? God filled that space. As we had time to listen, we discovered that God actually did have lots of plans for us. We left Spain and continued on to India, where we volunteered at a magical place called Project Y. We became teachers in the slums of New Delhi for 6 weeks, and it was humbling and exciting to be God's hands and feet outside of the church walls. We ended up back in New Zealand, where I'm from originally, with no jobs, no money, and living in my mother's very small flat. We are still there 2 years later. The lady is a saint. But God has provided for us all. We are now putting into action the plans that God told us on our walk. Currently, I'm working towards becoming ordained within MCC. We have learned that to be transformed, something needs to give. You can't keep doing the same things the same way and expecting a miracle. Sometimes you have to give up stuff and make time, and that's not always easy, but it is totally worth it. God had to send myself and Alan on a walk across Spain just to make us listen. But you know, we shouldn't have had to do something as dramatic as that. We can all find ways to make space for God in our lives, and God will fill it with wonderful plans. Because God has plans for us all. MCC has a strong, inclusive message that everybody needs to hear, not just people that look like us, talk like us, or have sex like us. Let's make room. Let's work together. Let's transform. Trust me, you won't even miss the stuff.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and you're with Andrew and Joy. And if you want to join in the conversation, ask a question, make a comment, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au, or go to your little app and press the Talk to Joy and Andrew button.
There's a Contact Us button if you have, if you have our smartphone app.
And that track we had was Building 429 with Listen to the Sound, one of Andrew's favourites.
That's a fantastic track. Love it.
It is wonderful. Now, tonight's guests have come all the way from Aotearoa to be on Spirit Lounge. Well, maybe not. Okay. The truth is they were visiting Melbourne, and when I heard they were visiting Melbourne, I said, you have to come into the studio, you have to be on the program. So they're really given no option, so they're here.
So Joy ran out of the studio, and I lost her this afternoon, and she returns with our next guest.
Yes, Marla Sagan. So these couple are adventurers, humanitarians, mad scientists, church planters, magicians, and goodness knows what else. Welcome to Spirit Lounge, Emily and Alan Warman.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Now, you went on a pilgrimage in Spain that we heard about, 40 days and 40 nights. And I just want each of you to share one story that was your highlight or that meant a lot to you from that. And Alan, I believe you've been nominated to go first.
Yes, by censors, I'm first. So, well, first of all, the Camino de Santiago is a 795K walk across Spain. And a highlight for me out of that was visiting a place called St. Anton. And there's like a ruined monastery there. And it was a really big grand building. And as you walk along the path now, there's still some of the old archways that bridged over the road and that. But then you walk into the ruins, and just on your right-hand side are some blue tarps. And we lifted up one of those blue tarps, and there's a group of people having a meal there. And we knew it was a hostel, so we asked about the hostel. And that's basically it. It's this ruined monastery. Under the tarps are some beds and cooking facilities. And we sat down and enjoyed this meal with them. And then everyone there that was visiting left. And it was just me and Emily and the two people that run the hostel. And we just spent the night sharing a meal, learned how to cook tortilla Spanish omelettes and stuff like that. Chopped a lot of potatoes. And just shared a really good evening. And it was just wonderful being in this ruin that is still functioning, still serving a purpose to the pilgrims there. And it's really something that I took away from the Camino is, you know, like we all talk about having the shiniest and best up-to-date thing and the best iPhone, the best pair of sneakers and things like that. But then you can actually do amazing stuff with broken old ruined stuff and a bit of tarpaulin. And it's been something that I've tried to put into my everyday life. So that was one of the many fantastic things for me. And really took a lot from that.
So does that mean you now live under a tarpaulin?
We live with my mother.
Yeah.
So does your mother live under the tarpaulin?
She might do soon. Yeah.
We, lucky enough, we're not living under a tarpaulin quite yet, because we are living with my very patient and wonderful mother-in-law. And
is she likely to be listening?
I love you, Mum.
Yeah.
Ellen loves you too.
Yeah. We actually refer to her as a chief sponsor, so a lot of what we do and a lot of crazy ideas we do, there's people in the background that support us, and Naomi's, the mother-in-law, is definitely one of those, and we do refer to her as the chief sponsor.
I need to ask a question about this story, because you said that when you got there, everyone left.
You picked that up.
What was it about you that they all left, or where did they go?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. Kind of going back to the story, we walked in like early afternoon-ish, and they was all sitting down having a meal. And we're like, hi, is this a hostel? And they're like, yeah. So we sat down to get like documents sorted for staying at the hostel, and they're like, no. And we just sat down and we had a meal with them. And we found out that they were all local-ish people that run other hostels and other organisations around the area. One of them was a farmer and things like that. And they all really support... The support for the Camino, the pilgrimage, is really strong anyway. And people really support the guys that are doing this work in this ruin. So they was just all there having a fun afternoon and a bit of a siesta and a bit of a chill out.
So
and
we it was nothing up. To do with you.
No, we were no. quite no. smelly by that stage, yeah. but I don't think that was it.
Emily, what was one of your highlights from the pilgrimage?
Oh, it's really hard. So many different things happen. And like just knowing that your body can walk every day. I'm quite a lazy person. So walking anywhere between 8 and I think the most we did was 30Ks. I cried a lot. It's quite amazing to know that your body could do that. And sharing like a bedroom with 200 plus people, you know, all of it was quite challenging on many different levels.
So lots of 5-star hotels on the way.
I wish. No, but you're so tired you didn't care. Like, it was great. But the thing I really took out of it, you can get guidebooks and things like that, but you follow yellow arrows along the way. So everywhere you go, there's a yellow arrow, and they're at different levels because sometimes it snows, so the arrows need to be up high. It's really amazing. So you keep constantly looking for these yellow arrows, and you pick out a bit of yellow anywhere. It's just like your eyes just crazily go there. And when you get to Santiago, where it finishes at the cathedral, there's no more yellow arrows. It's just full of people that have done the walk that don't know where to go anymore. So there's a lot of people just walking around aimlessly, kind of freaking
looking
out.
For yellow.
Yeah, for yellow arrows, and there's no more yellow arrows. So it's quite distressing. But it's really, really interesting. On the side of the cathedral, there's the Alpha and Omega, but it's reversed because, I mean, they've been doing this walk for centuries, and one of the pilgrims sort of rocked up and he's like, oh, this was supposed to be the end of my journey. Everything should be complete now, blah, blah, blah. But actually, you found it was just the beginning. So that's all about the Alpha and Omega reverse, which I think is really cool. And especially in today's day and age, we're always trying to complete a project or get somewhere or finish something or buy that thing and we're going to feel better. But it's a bit of a myth, really.
Did people just walk one way or
Can I answer that one? Because we met some... Oh, I shouldn't say crazy people, should I? We met some...
Different people.
Different people. No, they were really interesting. But yes, everybody walks the same way, but... Some people do walk backwards. Yeah.
They walk backwards.
So, but they were doing it because... What are they walk, the reason?
When weird. We say they walk backwards, not like they turn around and walk backwards.
Oh, no.
They start at the end and finish at what we call
the
beginning. So they walked from Santiago to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, where we walked from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port to Santiago.
Yeah. There's not many people that do that.
Right.
And people do it on bicycles. There was some guys that did it on horses.
Hot
and
guys.
All the ladies thought they was great and stuff like that.
Right. You're on the Spirit Lounge with Joy and Andrew.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the amazing priest and the amazing Poof. And we have some amazing guests. Now, you went from Spain to India. What is Project Y and what do they do?
Project Y is a fantastic grassroots charity in New Delhi. So it's run by a lady called Anu, who's sort of got her whole family on board. And she... Should I tell the story of Anu? It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Anu was having a bit of a midlife crisis. Her parents had died. She was from a well-off Indian family. Her parents were diplomats. You know, really... well off, and she went to a spiritual person and was hoping the spiritual person would tell her exactly what to do with her life. But instead, every day, the spiritual person just said, sit outside my hut in the slum and I'll talk to you later. And she saw all these other people coming out with all these amazing things that they had to do with their life. And every day, she was just told to sit outside. And eventually, all the kids from the slum would come up to her and say, do you know how to speak English? Because she speaks English and French and all these amazing languages. And she ended up teaching the kids of the slum English. And her little class outside the hut grew and grew, and eventually it's become Project Y with about 4 different sort of classrooms throughout the slum areas in New Delhi, Oakland and things like that, and they help women to get skills, so they teach sewing, and they're just incredible. And they get volunteers from all around the world to come and help improve the kids' English. So it's really neat.
So how did you end up there? And what did you do when you got there?
I blame God, but I'll let Alan explain.
It's kind of interesting how we kind of got there is in 2010 when we was living in London, we decided we wanted a volunteer. And we started to look at all the sort of websites and organisations that you can volunteer for, and there's loads of them out there. But then we had a few questions about volunteering in India, and we found the answer to one on a blog. And then we had another question and we found the answer and then realised that she was looking at the same blog as before. And we worked out that this blog was written by this woman called Anu. We then worked out that she had a project called Project Y. And one thing that really stood out about it is it just really had a get on with it sort of attitude. And that just that idea of if you're willing to help, there's going to be something for you here to do. They don't ask for you to raise X amount, thousands of dollars before you go. Like some places, just to fill in the membership form, you need to send a donation check with it and things like that. And we just like the idea of that get on attitude and that smallness. So that's kind of how we found out about it and what shined out to us. But Emma explained a bit more about it as well.
You're taking Joy's job.
That's fine, go for it.
Well, we were really lucky when we turned up. We didn't really know what to expect. And they have a little guest house for some of the volunteers, but it was full of women at the time. And Alan, being a male, they thought maybe it wasn't appropriate for him to stay there. So we ended up staying at the family's home, which was just incredible. Because Anu's daughter teaches, they have a special needs class, additional needs class, and the project, which is really unusual in India. So we really got stuck in. So the first day we sort of rock up in the middle of the slum, and I have a bit of poo on the bottom of my trousers by accident. There's a lot of cows there, right? And I didn't know. I was really freaking out. I've got this poo on my trousers. I'm really, really upset about this because it's embarrassing. There's nothing I can do. And I walk into this school in the middle of the slum. Like, literally, they have to walk to get their water. You know, they make their own dwellings. It's pretty basic. And all these kids there, like 60-plus kids, and they're all pristine. You know, they carry their water to their home to wash. And here am I, this tourist, you know, really well off, and I have poo on me. But anyway, but they just throw you in and they really trust you to bring your gifts and do what you can. So we were basically handed over a whiteboard pen and we got on with it. Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
So are you still involved or are you going to go back? Or?
Yeah, we loved it so much. So we made a commitment to go back at least every 2 years. So we've been back once already and we're currently trying to figure out how we can go back again. And we do a lot of women's fellowship groups around New Zealand are pretty good to us. We do a lot of talks to different fellowship groups around New Zealand, and they're always really kind and they give a small donation. And we build up our donation over the 2 years and then we go and we give it to the project. So we try and commit to keeping in touch and supporting them.
We're going to now go to another track called We Are the Free.
We're going to...
Matt Redman, is that the one we're going to?
Yes, yes, I think that's the one that I've got.
Joy 94.9.
This is the Priest.
And the Poof.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And we have with us Emily and Alan, all the way from Aotearoa. Now, science in a van is described by yourselves, good selves, as a science roadshow experience that provides students with a fun, interactive and memorable way to see, teach and engage with science. I thought that most people learn science at school, so why do you need science in a van?
Bearing in mind this is a New Zealand-based thing that me and Emily do. In New Zealand, a group called Aero, which go in and look at schools, started to notice that science wasn't being taught as well as it should in schools. So they'd done a bit of research and they found out that there was a few issues. A lot of teachers didn't quite know where to start with this subject. And there was lots of confusion about what was needed. So things have been made a bit simpler. And what's really good for us is schools are encouraged to yes, improve in themselves, but they can also get outside people in it. And by getting outside people like ourselves in, we have the joys of just doing the same lesson 100 times. So we can invest a lot of time and energy into it. We put big demonstrations together, like we do a show about forces and we fire rubber chickens across the school hall and water rockets. We blow giant bubbles and stuff like that. And when I say giant, like a metre and a half is a small bubble for me and things like that. So lots of very sort of very visual and very clear things on. And yes, it is in the national curriculum, and yes, it is taught into school, but teachers getting the information and the equipment, lots of time in getting the equipment together can be a bit hard. So we kind of support in that with quite a fun and interactive way.
I reckon teachers must hate you guys because their lessons must seem so boring afterwards.
Sometimes we go to school and there for a whole day, and it's some kid's first day at school. And the kid's just like, oh, my goodness, this is amazing. And the teacher's like, oh, no, he's going to think it's like this every day, which is kind of funny.
So you travel all over New Zealand?
Yeah, we even went down to Invercargill this year, which is right at the bottom of the South Island. Yeah, so we do a lot of travelling, which we're going to have to sort of reassess if we want to do stuff in the community, because that's really hard to do when you're travelling around the whole country. So, but it's pretty fun at the moment.
But obviously you can't drive your van to Australia.
No, you've got lots of really cool science people here, though.
Yes. Oh, that's good. And you're on Spirit Lounge with the priest and the poof.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Andrew and Joy, and we're talking to Emily and Alan. Now, you guys, I'm exhausted with all the things you've done and are doing, but along with all that, you're starting a church called Church in Progress.
We are. Well, it's very small at the moment, but we have big dreams.
Is that the actual name of it, Church in Progress?
Well, we were talking to other people about it, and we were like, oh, it's hard to talk about something when it doesn't have a name. So I said to Alan, oh, we need a working title. And he goes, oh, why don't we just call it Church in Progress? I was like, that's really good. And all the members of our core team were like, that's really good. I think we're going to keep that, because it kind of... We don't want a church that's static and doesn't move and doesn't do anything outside the four walls or stays the same forever. So we're like, maybe we're going to keep that.
And we're also kind of working out what we're actually going to do. So it's about getting people together and about talking. And there's lots of people out there that identify as Christians but don't necessarily go to church. And we're meeting with loads of type of people and trying to work out what to offer. So it's very hard to put a name on something that you don't know what it quite is yet.
We're kind of calling it an experiment at the moment.
Being scientists, I think that is quite appropriate. I was interested to read about the discussion that you had about the use of sermons and worship, and I was just wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about the thinking around innovative preaching.
Yeah, I read a book called Preaching Reimagined, I think. It's by a guy called Doug Pratchett. I'm probably saying that wrong. But he had a bit of a realisation because he was preaching to big youth camps and stuff, and he knew exactly what to say at exactly the right time. So they all went, oh, I don't have a dad. You know, like, oh, I need Christ.
Emotional manipulation.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm really good at this. And, you know, and he felt like it was helping people. But he did it one day and he realised, oh, my goodness, this is not right. And he had to really reassess the role of preaching in our churches. And it was like reading one of those books and you think, oh my gosh, this guy's read my mind and he's put it down in a book and he's articulated what
That's
I'm thinking.
Scary.
I know, it was a bit freaky. But, you know, you either sit in church as a consumer and you sort of pay your money in the offering and you get all these ideas and somehow you're supposed to take that away and apply it to your life. Or you're the preacher and there's all this pressure on you being an expert and you're supposed to talk to people what they need to reconnect with God or connect with God, and there's a lot of pressure either way, really. And he's talking about having a system, well, I don't know if system's the right word, but having a church where you can discuss the stuff so you go away and the gospel impacts your life instead of it sort of like a self-help sort of band-aid that applies to your life. So he's got a model that he does in his church where they have a discussion group on the Tuesday or whatever, and they talk about the scripture that they're talking about, and we'll talk about how it applies to their lives or how it works in their lives. And then he builds that into his sermon. So instead of quoting famous people in your sermons, he quotes his people in his congregation, which I think is really cool. That would keep you awake in the sermon, I reckon. And then they don't just listen. He finishes his bit and then they discuss it some more. So I think that could be pretty powerful.
So there's a lot of ownership of what's happening.
Yeah, and it makes it relevant. You know, if he has an example in the book where this lady has triplets and they die. I'm not sure if it's in pregnancy or just afterwards. And he was sort of saying, you know, what am I going to say that's going to talk to this person in such grief? You know, only God can really do that. It's just too big. And she doesn't want to sit in a church where people are trying to tell her how to deal with grief. You know, so they talk about it, and it has an amazing blog post of what she writes about the experience of the sort of discussion type preaching. So I highly recommend the book. It was a bit hard to get in New Zealand, actually, but I just think it's a very, very interesting thing to look into. Yeah.
Now, if people live in Auckland and are interested in attending, how could they find out about where you meet? Or is it a secret location?
It's not a secret.
When and where you meet?
Well, I've got a blog which we're kind of using as a platform, and it's church-in-progress.blogspot.co.nz, but I think that'll be on your guys' website. But our first sort of event is going to be on the 7th of December, and we're going to get together and celebrate Christmas, complete with snowball fights and lots of food. It's a church that's going to be for South Auckland people who are looking for an inclusive place of worship.
But if you lived over the Harbour Bridge, you could still come.
Yeah, if you're fun. No, of course.
All are welcome.
All are welcome.
This is a church exclusive to people who live, and you must bring your
fun
power
people.
Bill so that you can prove where you live.
No, of course. We're really keen, though, of not travelling a long way to church. It would be really cool to set up a church that's local. I kind of really miss that. But we'll see how we go.
So if you want to get involved, head to churchinprogress.blogspot.co.nz. We're going to thank you very much for joining us on the Spirit Lounge. We're going to end this little segment with a track from Toby Mac.
Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge with The Priest and The Poof on Joy 94.9. Now, on the weekend, we went to a little bit of an art exhibition.
We did.
It was a bit of a Sunday outing, you know. it was an exhibition called Caught Between Shadow and Daylight. It had a lot of digital works in it, which I found kind of interesting. It was like photos that had been manufactured almost. So the exhibition is running, I just mentioned it at the moment because it's running from now until the 8th of November. It's at Mad Gallery, 19 High Street in Lancefield. So you might have to plan to go and visit. The artist's name is Dan Verkes, and he's actually really quite talented. The works there were really impressive and quite a good little reflection between good and evil and light and dark. So, you know, quite interesting to go and have a look at, I thought.
I quite agree. And he talks about how his work attempts to blur the balance between menace and beauty. There's a lot of skulls, but then there's some amazing...
There was one that I loved that was like all these little skeletons that were just hanging out having a little family picnic underneath these giant pink mushrooms. That was probably my favourite one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some great art there. But we're going to put a link in our social media page to Dan Verkes' art. So go and have a look. And if you can, go out to Mad Gallery, and they have lovely coffee and other stuff there, food there, at 19 High Street, Lancefield. And there's some lovely other shops that you can go and visit. So get to Mad Gallery.
Joy 94.9.
And you've been on Spirit Lounge, and thank you to Emily and Alan. And coming up, we're going to go out with God Box by Horse, and it's goodbye from the Priest.
And from the Poof.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.